Hello, this is Happy from Team Envious, and you are listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 110, coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The time, 7:26 p.m. Central Standard Time. The date, June 20th, 2018, in the year of our Lord and Savior. My name is Tim. Hello, how are you? Alongside me, as always, we have Brett. Hello, Brett.
Happy birthday, my man.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. And we have Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? Feels like it's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
We took 1 week
and
off.
Tim, my lover, my father, my friend, my soulmate, happy birthday.
Thank you. I can tell you're super excited about it with how hot your mic got there. Appreciate it. technology, we discussed it.
That's the only thing they got excited.
Well, Anuj mic sound funny, but for no fault of his own. He plugged it in, plugged it back. It's technology. We'll figure it out. But you'll live, because Brett's been using a HyperX headset this whole time. So, you know, whatever.
Great.
We did take a week off, though. We were busy last week between Anuj's birthday, Brett's anniversary, which took 2 nights, even though the second night, I thought it was pretty cool. I guess, did you play video games with your wife? Is that why you were on?
Yeah, man,
video
totally.
Games? Is that what it was? Me and Anuj saw you on. Okay, I get it. And everyone needs
Father's
a break.
Day.
Everyone needs a break. Oh, and Father's Day. And Father's Day was in between. So we were busy. Holidays, it happens. Life gets in the way. Especially for a gig where you don't get paid for them, right? But this is going to be the best episode ever. Not only because it's my birthday today. 28 years ago, I was given to this earth as a gift. But we have some CSGO drama to get into. We got to touch on Rocket League. Brett gave us that on the edge of your seat preview, so we will hear what he had to think of the finals. Was he satisfied? Was he not? We'll get to the bottom of that. And to start the show, what are we starting the show with? Oh, E3 happened like 2 or so weeks ago, and we'll get to that. But before we do, make sure you follow us on social media, Twitter at The Center Ring. Our website, tcr.gg, that will get you all the other good stuff like our Discord, YouTube, Twitch, yada yada. All that fun stuff, tcr.gg. Go check it out. So E3 was like 2 weeks ago. And look, I know this is an esports podcast, but believe it or not, we also play video games. And to anyone who plays video games, I think E3 is a big deal and it should always be addressed because it's kind of the foundation of what, what would create an esport, right? Like Overwatch, that was just a game once announced, and now look at it. So I do want to kind of focus on more of a, for the sake of time, more of what you fellas thought of E3 and some of the big, quote-unquote, esports potential titles coming out of it. Some of the big one that we can start with was they finally showed more on the new Smash title. Coming out for the Nintendo Switch in December, I believe, December 7th. Smash Ultimate, foul on their part for doing Smash U again. So, can't use that.
I got so excited I went out and bought a Switch. So,
hey man,
let's just say a little something.
It happened to me last E3, or was it E3 when they announced it? Whenever they announced Smash was coming out, I can't tell. Nintendo does their own thing in like middle of the year. So it might have been, I don't think I've had my Switch for a year.
No, I think you got it somewhere in the middle.
No way, right? I got it, like, in the fall, I think. Either way, when they announced Smash, I did the same thing. I went and bought it. Now, you just had to get a little bit more of a taste to go and get it.
Yeah, now it's like it touched my lips, you know?
It touched
like
the lips.
I feel
so
it. It's all I needed.
It's so good. So there's a lot of aspects to this that Nintendo, I think, really is focusing on, looking at it from more of the competitive side. I think they've realized that between all the different Smash and with Melee still being a primary target for the competitive scene, I think now Nintendo will never bring this up because, yes, they have Nintendo eSports on Twitter and stuff, but they've still very much separated themselves from being competitive, right? That was their whole thing, was that they didn't like the way the competitive scene for Smash represented Super Smash Bros. As a game, because they felt that it wasn't what the game was designed to be played like, right? They didn't like the fact that it was so serious and you changed all the settings and took the items out and everything like that. I feel like this one, though, they finally added a proper wave dash back into it. Excessive dodging is going to be penalized. I feel like they've definitely geared it more towards the faster action type of play style that everyone loved so much with Melee.
Yeah, I got the same vibe from it. Just, you know, even seeing some of the players' reactions, like who are the current Melee players right now, there wasn't that immediate, like, oh, this is going to suck. And they've been able to say that for some of the Smashes that have come out since Melee, right?
Now, so, it's funny because there wasn't like an immediate, oh my God, this is going to be amazing either, right? Like the Melee, all you can ask for from the Melee.
Don't hate it. Like, just don't hate it right away.
Don't instantly dismiss the game.
But yeah, I agree with you. I think they are making it, you know, a focus. And didn't they mention something about a competitive mode, like, in the game also?
I think they mentioned, like, they're going to bring back tournament play for, like online.
I just felt like it was more of a focus. And, you know, bringing all the characters back, I think, is exciting, too. Like, you literally have everybody except for one or two people that people are yelling about. But, yeah.
You're not throwing away any of the if you, like, mained someone on Wii U, right? It's not like you can't play them. Not like Cloud, for example. I really enjoyed Cloud. That Cloud was my guy on Wii U, or Smash U, you know, and I was worried that for this one they weren't going to bring him back because he's not like a traditional Nintendo character, you know, would that be a concern for Nintendo to bring him back? But when they announced that they're bringing back all the stages, all of the characters, that's got people hyped up for that. And like I said, like even Mango, you mentioned some of the Melee players. Mango was saying, he's like, I don't really feel as wowed as like some of the Wii U pros. Like, I think more of the Wii U pros were excited for it, right? Because a lot of them, like, they even had that mini tournament at E3 where Zero ended up winning. So he kind of picked up Smash Ultimate, right, where he dropped Smash U off at. So that was kind of cool to see them back in. And coming up at, I think, Combo Breaker? Coming up at some big fighting tournament, they're going to have like a live demo where you can go and play Smash
and try it out. Yeah, I really hope that this takes over the Smash community, though. I'm tired of seeing this split community. It only hurts the fighting game community as a whole, because Smash could be one of the bigger games in the scene, and it's just so split. It's so dated, right? For like somebody that's new that didn't play that Smash, they're not a desire to go play it and learn it. You're just watching them. So I hope they kind of migrate towards this newer version and build, you know, try and build it if they want to keep it going.
Yeah, I mean, it's the younger generation. I mean, you know, teens, preteens, they're getting into competitive games, right? So, I mean, it's nice to see Nintendo kind of like, you know, adapt. That's pretty cool.
Which is normally something you can't say about Nintendo, because they're normally stuck in their ways and they don't want to do anything that the fans want.
Yeah.
I don't want to see Melee go away, right? Like, Melee will always hold a spot in the fighting game community for what it is, right? You have the gods of Melee where, I mean, you will never want to not see them being involved. And I think as long as they are still playing Melee, Melee will still be at tournaments because it brings in viewers, right? There's a reason why a Smash tournament on Twitch really doesn't pick up steam until like the top 16, because after that, you're not watching for, you know, top 30, right? You're waiting for that, the H boxes, the Mangos, Armadas, Mewtwo King, even Plup at this point, right? Those are the guys you want to watch. So that will never go away, and that's why Melee will never go away. But if you can get more of those guys to double play in a game, right? Like Mewtwo King, he also played Smash U. He was one of the few that really transitioned over to Smash U and also played it at a high level. Like, he was still really good with Smash U, but it just, there wasn't enough star power that transitioned over to where, you know, I mean, fans are impressionable, right? So if you have Mango saying, no, this Smash sucks, it's not real Smash, and if you play it, then you're not a real Smash player, right? You're going to get his fans and other viewers thinking the same thing.
They're just
going to
feel that way because he feels it.
It drags it down, man. Smash U was a fun game, but it got dragged down by its own community.
I think we're seeing some of this community already come out and show support for at least wanting it to do well by giving advice, essentially, I guess you could say, to Nintendo and things that it could possibly change. Like, I'm looking at a tweet from Hungrybox, and he goes, crazy to say, but here's a take. If Nintendo decides to put less landing lag and farther slide after a directional air dodge, you'll get a far bigger chunk, and far is capitalized, a far bigger chunk of Melee players, aka Wave Dashers, into the new game. I really do think that's all it would need. And so it's like, it's good to see these guys also making a push and at least seeing potential in the game, right? Otherwise, like you said, if they're against it from the beginning, it kind of kills the vibe right away. It doesn't take much.
And I think it's in their best interest to also get into it because, well, I mean, we've seen it. If it would have happened, it would have done it. They would have done it already. Nintendo is not going to support Melee. They are not going to put as much time and money into hosting a Melee tournament. They're just not, because that's not going to bring in the money to them, right? Like, yeah, it's their game, and I'm sure they would love to have it at a tournament, sure.
But they're not, they can't generate any revenue.
Exactly. So this is a business at the end of the day, and they're not going to put as much money. You know, if they're gonna fork over money to a prize pool, it's going to be for their new flashy toy with Smash Ultimate. So for those pros that are, like, clinging on to Melee, I mean, like, you won't see this problem with Smash U players. Like, I think there's no doubt in any of their minds that they're going to have to switch over. You know, Smash U is already a dead game as far as a competitive scene goes. The second Zero decided to tap out, it was done. So
their biggest player, yeah.
Yeah, right. When your number one player decides to, you know, take a break until the new game comes out, you know it's a problem. So
they already released the new controller, the GameCube controller,
right?
You know, for the system. And
that shows that Nintendo, and they did the same thing for Smash U, which shows that Nintendo is aware, right? They are aware about people liking Melee and the fact the way GameCube played. They are aware of it. If they weren't, they would not remake these controllers. So
that looked like garbage from the outside in. You know, like, if you're looking at it, it looks like such a bad controller, and then you use it and it fits, feels,
man.
Right.
Yeah, I know. It just feels right. You can't. The platform fighting games feel right with the GameCube controller. Yeah. So I don't know.
How much longer until, like, all the CRT TVs just finally just blow up and die?
Well, that will be the day Melee truly is dead.
you get that converter like Brandon had.
Even then, though, it still doesn't. You could tell that it wasn't as crisp.
Yeah.
Right? You didn't have that. CRTV look feel to it. So I don't know. It'll be interesting, though, to see how Nintendo finally treats it. I mean, with ARMS and Splatoon 2, I mean, you do follow them on Twitch. If you follow the Nintendo esports, they do tweet about it. I think they just had, like, their big ARMS championship at E3 as well. So they do pay attention, right? They do focus on it. The issue is no one else cares, right? So I think Smash will be that bridge that helps the non-Nintendo eSport guy into Nintendo eSports as well, and to see how Nintendo finally handles that attention. They just can't. The thing is, Nintendo has to be real, and they can't reject the already established eSports crowd. Don't try to twist this and be like, oh no, at this tournament, we're going to have items because that's what Smash is about. Like, no, don't do it. Like, there have been rules set since the dawn of Super Smash Brothers, and items haven't been a part of it. Don't do it. So That's my plea towards Nintendo. Some other games at E3, though, that they didn't show as much, but they did have former esports presence involved. Halo Infinity. The
Infinity.
Infinite. Infinite.
Yeah, infinite.
Infinite.
Okay, sure, man. Look, this is why I talk and don't read. Halo Infinite. They like literally Microsoft literally showed like a minute teaser, and it was really more so a teaser for the new engine that 343 is using for the game and for future games to kind of show off. It was more of like a tech demo than anything. But it did
tease. You saw nothing of
no,
the game.
No, nothing. But it at least teased the fact that they are working on one, you would assume. Like, Halo is not a game you just tease for your graphics engine. Like, that's, you don't mess with that
I would
that
have been
crowd.
More excited, like, if they showed, you know, if they showed him, like, standing there holding a mouse or a keyboard in his hand.
just Master Chief at a computer.
Like, Master Chief is just sitting behind a desk and, like, has his legs up and just chilling with the mouse and keyboard. I know I get really excited. I really hope they go that direction. I feel like they will just because
the whole push
Microsoft has made
with
Windows 10, Xbox, you know, connection
right
there. So I think they'll do it, but I've thought that before.
I've been thinking that since 2003. Yeah. So
if they want to revive the Halo series, because let's be real, it's a dead series at this point. They need to do something big. The audience isn't there like it used to be.
It's not bringing anyone in new.
No, and you're losing people. You know, you're losing your Optic Gamings. You're losing, I think,
Envious
is not there. I mean, like, the big players are gone. Now, they'll all come back in a second if they feel like there's money there. And the fact that they're not there shows you that.
Honestly, my Xbox fandom, I used to be hardcore Microsoft, and I had a PlayStation and it collected dust. But it was all because of Halo. And the second Halo stopped being Halo, I never got an Xbox One because I was like, you know what? I want to play the Halo games, but I'll just watch YouTube and learn the story that way because the games aren't fun to play. The story is still good, but the games aren't fun. So even from a casual fan aspect, which is every esport game needs a casual fan to it, it's just one of those things where Microsoft and 343, they now that they've teased it, they really have to show the fact that they are, because 343 has said it before that, like, oh, we're going to focus back on multiplayer and we're going to introduce, you know, split screen again, and it's going to go back to the old days of multiplayer and having fun with your friends, and they really got to live up to it. And that's even staying on console. Like, clearly, I agree with you, Anuj, that going to the PC would probably be the best move to at least get more people involved with watching it. And I mean, look at Halo Online, right? That was a bootleg.
People were dying just to play it for a few minutes, you know? And they were like, people were rushing to download it when they were terminating it, you know, Microsoft.
And
I was fully
confident that that thing was going to be, that thing would have been big, man. You would have saw PC tournaments with Halo Online. There was no doubt in my mind that they were going to tweak it, they were going to make it smooth, and it was going to be really popular. And then Microsoft killed it. So
at the end of the day, Microsoft comes in and does it right. Go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, I mean, you just look at, even if you're from the competitive standpoint, just looking at the console side of things, like, Call of Duty is really the only console esport, you know, FPS that's kind of clean to life, right? So I'm with you guys. The PC side is where it's at.
The only reason that's the case is because Sony pays for it. I really would love to sit down with the head of esports on Activision behind closed doors and just say, if you had your way in a perfect world, would you still be playing on console? Like, would you really stick with the console crowd on this? Now, he might say yes just because Call of Duty has the chokehold on, you know, FPS on console. There's no game that even comes close to it across all platforms. So, but, you know, we'll see. I know they showed a little bit about the new Call of Duty coming out for Black Ops 4. Mainly, a lot of them just kind of focused on their Battle Royale mode, which is, I think for like Battlefield 5, Call of Duty, all those battle royale modes, those I think are just meant to be fun. I don't think you're going to see any type of competitive aspect to it like you are with Fortnite and PUBG and all that.
Yeah. Sooner or later, just oversaturation comes into play and it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think they focus that much on that side of it being the eSport for like a COD, though.
I don't think you're going to
keep COD as the way it is. Now, with COD, just like Halo, they both need a revival of some sort, right?
Right. Well, and I know we've talked about COD Black Ops 4. We have talked about Black Ops 4 on the show when they first announced it. And we are excited for that because I do think that will be a healthy revival for it. Where it's still boots on the ground, which I still hate, by the way. I still that link.
A futuristic version of boots on the ground, right? Like there's still some wall running and stuff depending on the characters you choose. But it's going to be... I think that has a chance to help elevate them, just like I'm hoping the same thing happens with Halo
and
here. But with
COD, they did what we always said, right? Is they went PC, dedicated PC.
They went PC, and they've reduced like one of their modes to a 5v, like their game mode to a 5v5 in game to make it more, you know, close to what pros are playing. And so it looks like they're trying to make that a focus there also, which is, I mean, it's great. I would love to see both of those games back, and I think it would just be healthy for esports to have both of them doing well on the PC side.
Mm-hmm. Now, one game that I was not expecting, and one game that surprisingly is still an esport out there, Gears of War. So they announced Gears 5, and they mainly showed only like story mode teasers and trailers and everything, but it still has a pretty healthy esports scene again. Relatively speaking, don't hit up my inbox with Gears as a dead game. Sure, if you're comparing it to like Dota or Counter-Strike, yeah, it is. But it does have its own healthy community behind it. And also, what MLG is finally doing is they are finally combining them back with Halo. Coming up at one of the future MLG events, which event it is escaping me right now, but they're finally doing Gears of War and Halo back together. So for the same weekend, half of it's going to be Gears, half of it's going to be Halo, just like what it was back in the day. And I think that is the perfect way to cross-promote. I never thought in recent time, like Halo and Gears were that popular of a game to sustain its own convention center for a weekend. So the fact that... they're coming out with the new Gears. Hopefully they kind of revamp that a little bit again, kick some life back into it. And the fact that they're cross-promoting it again with Halo in tournaments. Honestly, I don't know why they don't do Halo, Gears, and Call of Duty all on the same tournaments. But that's just my opinion.
Draw one massive crowd
just
in.
Just get that massive crowd in. It's all generally the same because, again, it's all console players. So they all generally stick together. They did it back in the day when I would compete in MLG tournaments, you know, and it was awesome. You'd go, you'd compete in your Rainbow Six tournament, walk over and watch the Smash players, walk over and watch Halo players. It was kind of like DreamHack, the way that's set up, right? Where you just had, you know, little sections for games, and it was nice. I liked it. And like
traveling circus of console players.
Right, but it works because you get that cross-promotion, and even though you might not want to play Gears, you watch the pro scene because it's right there, right? And you see the giant crowd of people watching it. So it's a good way to promote the game, especially when your community is already sort of small. And the other game, not a first-person shooter, but a fighting one again, Dead or Alive 6 was announced. Was not expecting this at all. In fact, the last time I even heard of Dead or Alive being brought up in the main media area was like the developer got busted for sexual assault or child pornography or
no
something. I mean, you know,
because he's staring at those characters like all day.
I don't know, I forget his name. It's been too long since I even looked into Dead or Alive.
Never gotten into the game, so I can't even really speak to it.
This dude, the guy who always wore the sunglasses, Tamatobi Itagaki.
Okay.
I'm sure I nailed it.
Yeah, totally.
Sure, I crushed that one. Let's see here. Registered Tecmo. La, 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 la. This is live research on TCR. Control F porn. Rape.
Oh.
Sex. Sexual harassment. Here
oh,
we go.
There we go. There it.
His executive office position was, however, taken away in August the same year due to his involvement in a sexual harassment scandal. And that was back in 2006. So that was the last time I ever heard of him. But I guess he's back or whatever. My point is, Dead or Alive was a huge inspiration to me growing up and getting into fighting games. Me and my friends would play that all day, round the clock. It was big. So the fact that they announced a sixth one, I hope the fighting game community picks up on it. Honestly, I have no idea how it's perceived in that community because back then I was so young. Back your world was only really focused on your little group of friends playing that game because you never dared play a fighting game online because even till this day, they're awful online. So back then in, 2001, it was almost impossible. So I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see how that plays out. That's really all I had on my list for E3. Do you guys have anything else that piqued your interest, esports or otherwise?
Otherwise, there's plenty. Oh. Yeah, go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, I mean, really, the Ubisoft stuff was kind of underwhelming to me. There's really nothing there that kind of like jumped out and grabbed my attention. But I'm pretty excited for. God, my mind just went blank.
Last of Us 2.
Last of Us 2. Yeah, there we go. It feels like it's been forever since that the Last of Us came out, the original.
It
so
did.
I mean,
did. I mean PS3 days. But, so it's been a while.
But I mean, yeah, that like video had me hooked.
You're saying though, right?
Yeah.
Still like a long ways. That's the only problem I have with E3 is like you just gotta wait.
Yeah.
Get all hyped going
if you
now.
Had to pick one game, what are you hyped for?
One game.
One
oh,
game.
Gosh.
We gotta move on.
I hate to put my faith in an EA game. It really kills
why,
me to
why
do
would
that
you do
for
that
one
to
game.
Yourself?
I mean, I think Anthem could be a cool game. It looks like something I would enjoy playing with my friends. But again, I'm waiting for it to be like microtransaction hell in that game. Transaction hells in that game. So, I mean. Yeah, I'm super excited for Death Stranding, even though we didn't see much on it. But I'll say the biggest one for sure, and I'll go with the one, is Cyberpunk 2077. That looks awesome.
It does. Especially
it's just been hyped up for so long, looks cool, super pumped for it.
Still gave you just enough to where you're still interested, but not enough to where like you really know what's going on.
I've gotten more excited about it after E3, just because so many people have had private screenings now of the official build of the game, and they're all just... raving about it. So that's getting me more pumped than anything.
Yeah. I can't really pick one. I mean, as far as esports wise, I think I'm pretty hyped for Smash. I'm not going to lie. Having Smash on the main console again to where we all own it. We all live within distance. We can finally play it together. I think it will be pretty fun. But yeah,
go non esports game. That's what I was trying to do.
Yeah, I know, but you know me, man. I'm just so esports. I'm esports all
sure.
the time.
Esports tip.
You know what? I'm going to pull up a list. I'm going to pull up a foul.
Elder Scrolls 6, Starfield.
No, honestly, get Elder Scrolls out of my face. Elder Scrolls and Fallout. F on my face with those. Okay, those were cool like 15 years ago. I cannot play those games anymore. I know myself. I'll start a character. I'll get 3 hours in, and then I'll start a new character and get 4 hours in with him, and then I'll mod it up so much I don't even recognize the game anymore. And just that's my mini rant on Bethesda, where Elder Scrolls and Fallout. Meh. I guess... I don't know, bro.
Just go with Cyberpunk.
Give me Cyberpunk. Or Last of Us, Spider-Man. Can Spider-Man count for this year?
Spider-Man looks awesome.
I'm
going to
go with Spider-Man. I'm definitely,
that looks really good.
That will definitely be. I don't buy single-player games very often, especially at full price, because what do you think I am, made of money? Like, I'm not a millionaire. But Spider-Man will be a day one get for me. So there's that. So up next on the agenda, that is our E3 talk. Let us know on Twitter at The Center Ring. Esports-wise, what are you looking forward to? Non-esports-wise, what are you looking forward to? In our Twitch chat, Cray Trey Vids says Cyberpunk. Wow, Cray Trey. What an original thought. How about you get original? But up next. Oh, God. Oh, God. It's the alarm that can only mean one thing. It's time for another segment with Brett.
Brett? With me? Hi. Hi, everybody. But yeah, Rocket League happened like more than a week ago, which is kind of the equivalent of me talking about the 99 Cowboys. It's been so long, but I'll just kind of touch up on the event, just kind of what happened. Did any of you guys watch any of it?
I saw some highlights.
I dabbled.
Okay.
I dabbled.
You dabbled.
I watched more of the earlier rounds. Oddly enough, for the championship, I had to watch the VODs, so, you know.
Okay, yeah, I mean.
But I did watch it. I mean, I knew what happened.
Well, you're better for it, Tim, because it was awesome.
Hey, man, I wouldn't have a clue what was going on without your preview, so.
Oh, man, yeah, just the history of Rocket League. I appreciate the listeners, by the way, just, like, you know, patronizing me and telling me I did a good job. I appreciate that. You guys are the real MVP.
You're starting off hot right now, too.
But, you know, there wasn't much surprise other than the finals, obviously, for anybody that watched it. The first day, there was one upset with Evil Geniuses losing to the Chief Esports. But after that, it just the tournament kind of normalized, and what everyone thought would happen pretty much happened. So we'll get to the finals, which was pretty crazy. It was NRG versus Team Dignitas. Team Dignitas, formerly Gale Force, who won the tournament last year. Actually, NRG beat Team Dignitas in the semifinals of that match to send Dignitas to the losers part of the bracket. So Team Dignitas, they had a ways to climb. It was pretty rough for them. But they got through to the finals, where in Rocket League, much like other esports, if you come from the loser side and play in the finals, you have to reset the bracket. You have to win twice. The first series between NRG and Team Dignitas wasn't really exciting. Team Dignitas ended up beating NRG 4-1 in that series to send it to you know, the series that really mattered, the one that ended 4-3. But, I mean, if you watch that match, even the first couple of games, NRG just looked like just the inexperienced team, really. And now, they were. I mean,
NRG,
they have a 15-year-old
like,
rookie.
Though? Like, I was going to say, because I knew they had that young kid. Was NRG, like, going into this supposed to be, like, a favorite?
Well, I mean, if you look at the NA side of things, there's really four teams that could pretty much beat each other any day of the week. I mean, really three. There's G2, Cloud9, and NRG. They're kind of like 1A, 1B, 1C. So, yeah, I mean, they're a good team, but I wouldn't call them the absolute favorite. They do have one of the best goal scorers in the world on the planet in Garrett G, you know, which, and you know, him himself is good enough to give them a chance. But they're relatively inexperienced. None of the guys had won a championship before. Justin was playing, I believe this was his first LAN tournament. He's 15 years old. And it just kind of showed in that first series and the first couple of games of that last series. They went down 0-2. And after that, I was like, yeah, it's done. It's over. They can't come back from this. I mean, they just lost pretty handedly in that first series, and then you give up the first couple of games in this series, it's over. It's done. Well, they end up winning the next one, NRG, bringing it to 2-1. And then in a close one, Team Dignitas brought it back to 3-1, where, you know, that you have to win three games in a row at that point. It, you know, pretty much, I thought it was over. Well, then NRG finally figured out, because they were playing passive the first three games, which is kind of outside of their comfort zone. They're typically like high octane, just goal after goal after goal, high pressure. They're not really playing back. But they kind of flipped the script, and they just, it's like they were playing with house money. It was like, okay, guys, we're down 3-1. Let's just let it fly. Well, the next couple of games, they won handedly. It wasn't even close. To bring it to, well, let's first start off with this one. Okay, so it's 3-3. And in game 7, this is, you know, the final match, the final game of that series. It was a slugfest back and forth. I mean, NRG goes up off of a Turbo Pulsa own goal, which after that, you're like, wow, NRG just won the two previous games. Turbo Pulsa scores his own goal. Fate has it. You know, NRG's got to win this. Not the case. Dignitas comes back with a goal, and then, you know, they score another goal. NRG ties it, and then Dignitas takes a lead again, 3-2, and then that brings us to one of the most memorable moments that I've had watching esports. And for anybody that watched this moment, I mean, I don't know how you can't get goosebumps. This is going to be the Justin goal after Turbo Pulsa scores to make it 3-2 with 4 seconds left in game 7 of the RLCS final.
Is this what Tim, you got audio that audio for? Okay.
Yeah, that's going to be...
Right? Justin scores in 0?
Yeah, Justin scores in 0 right, time.
So let's listen to this.
Kato tries to clear. It is almost there. It just hits the floor. Final Panda puts it a long way. And it's almost there. Justin keeps it alive. Turbo Pulsa there. Bounces
it into the corner.
NRG still around. Justin is there for the shot.
Justin! Justin! They did it! The rookie of the year!
Ladies and gentlemen, my voice is gone, but my spirit is high. We have overtime.
Oh boy.
You heard the USA chants, right? In London, which was just awesome. I mean, it just like the hair is just standing up in my arm right now. It was just so exciting. You got Justin, he's 15 years old, the first LAN, scores that goal to send it into overtime. And then, you know, I talked about this team being young and inexperienced, and unfortunately,
how is that his first LAN? Like, is he new to, like, is he that new to the team, or are there just not that many LANs in Rocket
League? This may not be his first LAN. I felt like, I thought I heard somebody say it was his first LAN. But this is his first RLCS tournament. He hasn't played.
Oh, okay,
he never
okay.
played. He didn't play in 4, 3, 2, or 1. Yeah.
Okay, so it's like his first official.
Right. First official RLCS tournament. And then inexperience came back, and it wasn't even Justin that that kind of, you know, screwed the pooch there. With 22 seconds into overtime, this is something that if you play in gold or you play in, you know, champion, running into your teammate, there's nothing more frustrating. Teams are broken up, people are cussed out. It just, you don't really see it a whole lot in the pro scene, and it happened.
Right.
With 22 seconds into overtime, Fireburner bumps into Garrett G, who was playing in goal or was positioning himself to save a Turbo Pulsa shot. They bump into each other, nobody in goal. Turbo Pulsa scores, and Tim, you got
here?
The audio there. Okay. Yeah.
Next goal is the RLCS World Championship. Turbo Pulsa with it up high, gets the flick, Turbo!
So I did, also, right, I looked it up too. This was like Justin's legit first LAN. Now, albeit, like we said, he is 15 years old. So it's not like, you know, he hasn't been around the block. So
Yeah.
He just joined NRG in January. Before then, was on smaller teams and things like that. But
right,
that's pretty insane then. So his first LAN was on literally the biggest stage Rocket League has to offer.
And scored the biggest goal that it's ever seen. Yeah,
biggest
in its
goal
history.
That it can have in NRG, and he'll probably never have that big of a moment again. As far as, you know, like, just that big of a
in his life, that's it. 15,
yeah,
like that's over.
Yeah,
only downhill and from here, buddy.
It's only downhill.
Only downhill from there.
But yeah, I mean, it. You know, Dignitas wins. That's their second championship in a row. You heard the audio there. Turbo Pulsa. That's his third championship in a row. He won his first with Northern Gaming, and then the next one with Gale Force, and then Dignitas. Which brings me to just what topped it off. Your MVP was K-Dot, but anybody that watched that series, it was Turbo Pulsa. Like, he just showed out in game seven, even with that own goal. He had the saves in the game. He had the three goals. He's my MVP. And that's the finals. But did we want to go ahead and play that that crowd audio, which I thought was pretty cool?
I wanted to get into the next topic here. So here's Garrett G.
Takes it by himself. He's probably got a second touch in him.
Mainly just focus on the crowd.
Going to the far side to Garrett! Yeah. Outstanding! No matter how much pressure this man is under, he will never miss a shot! Justin with the chase, and Garrett G with the finish. We're back where we were. Dignitas trailing by a goal.
So if you heard it, they were doing chants for Garrett G scoring, and even in the other ones they were doing chants and everything there.
Soccer style. Yeah.
European style, if you will. Which
European
brings me
style.
To
there you go.
Our next segue, because also within the week off, ESL Belos had it for Counter-Strike, which is in Brazil. And again, you had it to where players were saying like they have never been to a louder tournament ever. Ever. They have never been to where it was legit. I think it was maybe Nico. Someone tweeted out that it was like legit difficult to hear footsteps and like smokes popping and things like that, because it was so loud in the arena that, you know, especially when like SK would play, it was just ridiculous. Which gets me to thinking, do NA crowds suck?
They do.
Like,
they're like, dude, there's no unity within the crowd. You know, it's
every
just people
clap
just yell.
Is so out of rhythm.
And they do the same USA chant over and over
and
over
always,
again.
Like, you got one guy going like USA, and then the guy next to him is like USA, USA, USA. It's like everyone's at a different pace and rhythm, and it's like, guys, we gotta slow this down. We gotta figure out what beat do we want to go on right now. And I, you know, like I said, at Columbus and everything, it was really good, but that's a major, right? So I'm always comparing things to like the biggest stage possible, and even at like ESL Dallas, like it's good. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's neat, but you never.
It's not gonna get your like the hair standing on your arms.
You know, like at Columbus, it was like I had chill moment when the crowd sang the national anthem with no background music, no prompt to do it. Everyone just did it, and I was like, damn, this is some awesome stuff going when Liquid got on stage. And you get in like Brazil and they're all crazy, and even you had like a tournament in China over the weekend, and everyone was saying like, oh man, the crowd here is nuts. It's just, then you got
Australia
us.
Was awesome too. Australia was probably the best to
Australia,
me.
Australia, you like, got people
Australia
getting kicked
was incredible.
Out for constantly what's the
drinking out of their boot or chanting. It was awesome.
That.
This was really good, though. I mean, Brazil's crowd was incredible. I mean, they were so loud the whole time, almost regardless of who was playing. They
I was
were just
cheering
about to say, great Counter-Strike.
Like, I was honestly happy to see that after SK got eliminated, it wasn't like, remember the one time in, I can't remember the exact city. It might be Katowice, but it was a Polish tournament. And as soon as Virtus.pro got eliminated, that crowd was done. Like, it was halfway full and they just didn't care because the home team lost. But, like, man, in ESL Belos, even after SK were eliminated in the semis by Mouse, like, even in the semis, like, the crowd felt just as hyped to watch that match. So bravo on Brazil, the Brazil fans for turning up. I don't want to really talk about too much of the tournament, that the time has passed, but how about Mouse with nothing getting to the finals?
That was awesome. That was like probably the most exciting part. That was what I was rooting for this whole tournament, was to see nothing, you know, advance and well.
Were they not instant crowd favorites apart from SK? Like, I mean, not even crowd, fan favorite, right? For even like the viewers at home. Just to see.
Yeah, viewers at home probably more so there, right? Yeah. Like, nothing's always been on the top NA team, and that's where that rivalry kind of is with Brazil and NA in that sense.
To see that he still got it, you know? Like,
yeah, he played well. It's unfortunate his worst series came in the finals. You know, he didn't have a great grand finals. It wasn't terrible either, but you could tell there were moments where he was, you know, not where he needed to be. There wasn't enough time to practice, but overall he had a 0.95 rating
and
a 70 ADR.
Like, fifth map.
They did.
They met with a fill-in.
And they 2-0'd SK, which was, you know, in the semis to get into the finals. So FaZe had a fill-in too. I mean, FaZe is playing with Croman, and Croman didn't play bad this tournament. Like, he had a pretty, in fact, I think he had, what, the second, third best rating on the team, but in the tournament he was top, you know, 7 or 10. So he played well as a fill-in for them. Both teams had a fill-in, but both teams played great. They took it to five maps. You know, five map Counter-Strike,
dude,
is tough.
And they weren't,
it's
like,
tough to
they
watch
weren't
all
quick.
Five.
They weren't quick.
Inferno, but they were so 16-6, good.
Cash 16-14, Train 16-12, 16-9, 16-10. I mean, those are long, long matches. None of those were really blowouts. I mean, 16-9.
Yeah, you're looking at like 45 minutes minimum for the lowest match on there, and then the rest are more with timeouts and things like that.
Heaven forbid if any of those had to go to overtime.
Like, oh my gosh,
that's ridiculous.
But overall, a really good tournament. Like, I enjoyed the tournament. Nico came away with the MVP. I think the letdown for the Brazilian crowd was there with NTC not taking a game. At least they took a map off of Big. They actually had a good chance to win that big series, but they ended up going out 0-2. And you know, even Liquid played really well. They took FaZe to the third match, you know, in the semis. And you know, I felt like they had a chance to win it. They looked a little off in that third map, but overall, exciting tournament. I mean, the Counter-Strike was really good in this tournament, especially considering two teams had a stand-in, but the crowd always helps make a tournament, in my opinion, with Counter-Strike. It makes a world of a difference to hear that background noise, and it kind of amps you up as a viewer. You know, watching from your home, you kind of feel that energy
coming through.
Well, I think
it gives the casters more to go off of, too. You know, it gets them hyped up. It makes everything better. And then, like, here you get the – I just feel like in America, man, you get the crowd and they're obnoxious. They're doing the little whoop hollering noises. They're dabbing. They're just – and it's like you can even tell there, it's like Machine is getting annoyed with the noise in the background. And it's just like they're trying to call a serious game, and then you got some 14-year-old just making some whooping noise in the back. It's like
– doing a Fortnite dance behind them.
Yeah. I don't know, man. You see other countries' crowds, and you're like, we kind of suck. We kind of suck.
America, we need to step our game up here.
That's right. Let's,
like, for let's real,
make
man.
NA crowds better again.
And leave the signs and thunder sticks at home. Don't bring signs and don't bring thunder. We shouldn't need thunder sticks. Just be loud on yourself.
That's a tournament organizer issue thing.
I
feel
oh,
like
I agree.
They always
no,
give
I mean,
them just...
they're mostly all sponsored. So, you know, when Budweiser wants to give you thunder sticks or whatever, you're not going to really say no, but don't bring them. Say no. other Counter-Strike news that were going on here. You know what? I had this in E-News, but we're just doing Counter-Strike news, so I'll just bring this up now. E-League Premier, they announced their teams for this tournament, or this year's Premier tournament. And funny enough, it's just all of the top eight right now on HLTV. I don't know if that was planned, but I mean, I guess if you're going
to... But it's kind of who you'd expect
yeah,
it to
be. Yeah, I
was going to
say,
right? Like,
if you're going to invite teams, why not invite the best? And E-League has that, what am I looking for? Reputation? They have the respect from the pros, and the organizers, where it's like, no, E-League has earned its right to where it's kind of a big tournament every year, right? Because they do only invite kind of the top players, or teams, rather. So you got Astralis, Mouse, FaZe, Fnatic, Na'Vi, Cloud9, Liquid, and SK.
And they didn't invite the current top eight. So, like, I mean, because Cloud9 is not a top eight team right now.
I'm assuming it was like
NRG is number seven.
I'm assuming when the invites went out, they were top eight.
Yeah, possibly.
Right, right. Yeah. Do we have any word on when SK's roster is no longer going to be with SK? Because at Bellos, you had Stewie2K with a picture wearing an Immortals jersey.
Yeah, and SK signed their new roster, so soon. Can't give a date, obviously. I have no idea, but it's got to be soon. You're going to start running into issues where if both teams qualify, then you know you can't have one ownership with two teams in tournament. So it's got to be right around the corner. Like you said, Stewie was wearing the dang jersey.
Is that one of the most awkward relationships, you think, when like the SK... Do you think the SK owner even talks to the players at this point?
No, they were saying there was an issue with even like spending the money to get them to be able to boot camp and all that beforehand, right? They don't want to waste money on him either. They know they're gone.
Right.
So I don't blame it, but I feel like I don't know what the holdup is, but hopefully they just...
Yeah, it's kind of a dirty move, but at the same time, it's like...
And I'm guessing now when they say SK...
If your girl tells you, hey, I'm going to break up with you for this other guy in like 4 months, but do you want to go out to eat and pay for me? I'd be like, no.
Nah.
No,
Who owns the spot for E-League? Is it SK or is it the roster?
I don't know. See, that's...
You're typically the roster,
no,
right?
Well, no. E-League is different because E-League has ran into this issue before and... Oh! They ran into this issue when SK moved from Luminosity. It was the same issue with the same group of guys. And I believe Luminosity got the spot. Let me look. That is so funny. Like, I'm trying to, like, my brain was trying to remember what team earned the roster spot, and then it was like, oh, wait. It wasn't them.
While Tim is looking that up, speaking of Luminosity,
yeah,
they signed their new roster. The Hen 1 and Lucas 1 brothers are signed to the Luminosity roster, I believe.
So they're back?
They are back. They are back in the scene. So you have a third Brazilian team getting in play here.
Trying to look for it. It must have been the players that got the roster spot, because I don't see... Would that have been Season 1? Part ways with the Danish lineup, SK Team and Team X. Oh, that's what it was. You had Team X
are
disqualified for roster. Yeah. Well, no, Team X was former... this is like Pimp, Magix, Modi. Back in the day. Do not comply with E-League rules or results in the previous Renegades and Gambit Gaming, instead advancing to the last chance qualifier. So that's when SK made roster moves. I don't know. I don't want to look it up right now. But that was an issue. That was an issue, and I believe E-League sides with the organization. So
yeah, that would suck, because the org in this case will not have a top-tier team necessarily, so... It'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, I'm 99% sure, though, that the league announces, or the E-League normally sides with the organization. The organization gets the spot, but I could
speaking
be making all that
organizational
up.
Organizational issues.
Yeah, speaking of, all right, so if you remember, like, 4 episodes ago, we did...
106,
episode
106, go back and hear it.
Brand new segment called Word on the Street, and we specifically said... We want all the credit if any of these turn out to be true, and we strongly distance and reaffirm that they are just rumors if they were wrong. Well, it's time to pay up, because I'm cashing in on all the credit that we deserve. Because word broke, you know, ooh, sources say. Nothing broke today, let me tell you. It was such a slow news day for us at TCR and all of our listeners when... all the big wigs in Counter-Strike said that Envious was dropping their roster for possibly going towards an NA team. Where have I heard that before? I don't know.
Word on the street.
Oh, that's right. It was us. So it turns out that we were correct. The rumors were true that you heard here first on TCR that Envious was dropping their roster because they ain't good. And the fact that now possibly they are looking for an NA team. Remember we said back then, possibly NRG. So that is still up in the air. TBD.
Reminds me of the clip from like Independence Day. You knew then, and you did nothing.
Right, exactly. So, you know what? For our very small community, just know, rest easy, knowing that you knew this story first. Before everyone else, you heard that Envious was dropping their roster on TCR.
And grabbing an NA roster.
Because we will never get credit for it. I've come to terms with that. We are just going to be constantly overlooked on that aspect of it. And that's okay, because I know that you know that we were the first. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Other CSGO news? Anything? Anything Panorama came out?
Panorama update is in the beta. So that's exciting. And it looks good, right? I mean, it's not perfect, but it looks significantly better.
Better frame rates.
Something new for Counter-Strike. Like, good lord, the game just needs a little bit of a freshen up, and this is the first step to doing that, so that's exciting. Counter-Strike did turn 19, which is insane that
Let's
I have
see. If it's
been
19,
playing for...
How old am I?
I've been playing for 18 and a half of the 19 years.
So I turned 28, so that means it was how old? I was like 11? Am I doing the math right?
You're 28?
Yeah.
It was 19. No, it's 9.
Oh, 9. Okay.
9. Yeah.
So.
TCR math. You heard it here first.
Yeah. Well, hey. You know what? I'm here to break stories, not do math. So I probably started playing when I was like 11 or 12. Man, that is crazy. And I still suck at it. And yet, to some people, I'm a god. So, what does that tell you?
Well, happy birthday, CS. Hopefully, you live on for another 19 years. I think the only other thing that would be interesting to mention. That happened recently, and this was at a DreamHack event. It was a DreamHack Open Summer event. The first time in DreamHack history, an uninvited team won the tournament, and that was Imperial over Optic. Funny to note, Optic beat North in that tournament, and as you can imagine, Config was very open on Twitter about it and let it be known that they won that game, but then they go out in the next match and lose to Imperial in the finals, and in fact, get swept 2-0, so...
Man, that's
GG.
So, that is so Config.
That is so Optic.
That is so Optic to sit there, talk smack, and then all of a sudden
get
lose 2-0'd by an invite team.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff. Let's get into some e-news, shall we? We got a little bit to get to. We already mentioned some in the Counter-Strike, like E-League and all that fun stuff. You do have Overwatch Stage 4 wrapped up. LA Valiant ended up beating New York in Stage 4. Dallas Fuel actually ended up making to the playoffs, so that's pretty fascinating how Dallas can actually make the playoffs there.
An error we trust.
And even though I'm not a huge fan of getting hyped up for those playoffs after the stage, because I truly, in my opinion, I mean, it's not even in my opinion, they don't matter. They don't matter at all. Do not raise the banner. I don't think confetti should drop until you are lifting the actual trophy. I think it's dumb. I think it's a marketing ploy, and you should be ashamed of yourself. But I digress.
The participation awards.
That's what it is.
You think they get a juice box after they win that?
Oh yeah, I'm sure Arrow brings orange slices. in Call of Duty, Activision. Did you see these rumors though? Speaking of Overwatch League. From the success of the Overwatch League so far, Activision is now rumored to be wanting to do franchising for Call of Duty. So that will be. Honestly, I think it's a done deal. Like, I think it's going to happen. I don't think that's really so much of a rumor as just a precursor. That will be pretty crazy to see, though, because Call of Duty has always been this Wild West. Anyone can rise up through the open pool, and now how is that going to work with franchising, right? Like, I don't think someone who pays $20 million to get a franchise is going to want to get bumped because some open team
I don't think the price tags are gonna.
I mean, but
go
you,
that
high.
I mean,
personally. Even if it's anything, right? Even if you pay $2 million and you're bumped out of a tournament because some kid in Dallas decided to outbeat you.
And I don't think established teams are going to be doing any of that rebranding that, you know, like the Overwatch League did or anything like that.
Well, because they're already established, right? Like Optic is.
Yeah.
That's it.
Can you imagine if Optic had to change their brand for COD?
It's going to be different.
Oh.
Going to be, you're going to get franchise, but it's going to be Optic Gaming is the franchise for Call of Duty, right?
I hate the idea of franchising in COD. I just hate it because the game is not more than for 1 year. Like, what if the next year's game sucks? Like, I don't want, if my money's still, like, you know, do I have to keep it invested? Can I not play? Like, rosters get blurred because of the game
like
changing so much.
Like, there you are investing in so much of the unknown.
You're really just putting too much faith in them to make a good game.
So,
well, maybe they think this next Call of Duty is going to stand the test of time.
It just won't happen, though. Don't they have those contracts in place with the other...
Yeah.
You know, there's Treyarch and...
But, I mean, I guess, though, in reality, though, there's nothing in those contracts saying, hey, you have to use this for your next big esports push. You know what I'm saying? The game could come out, but just like this one where there's no single player, the other ones could have no multiplayer, for all we know, right? Or they just don't focus on the Pro Tour with that type of multiplayer. So, that one's going to be kind of weird to see how those rules shake up, but I think that's probably a done deal. In other E! News, you have Cloud9 signing Rainbow Six roster. They actually signed Beast Coast, which was kind of cool enough. They were one of the teams that made it out of the BYOC tournaments in Austin.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I kind of unlike Cloud9 not to sign a team that is established.
I mean, that's how they got their Rocket League roster. Were, what's it called? Something Cupcakes. I forget the full name for them. But they won a tournament, signed them. They did the same thing with Ally on their Super Smash Brothers before they let him go. So it's definitely Cloud9's MO is like, oh, homegrown won a couple tournaments here, let us sign you. So that's kind of cool. Also, one day I would like to do a detailed dive into Rainbow Six Siege. That game and the way Ubisoft runs its esports side fascinates me. The fact that it is ran so smoothly and it's actually kind of popular, yet no one knows about it. So I do want to talk about that one day.
I've been getting into it, man. It's a fun game.
It's a soft spot in my heart.
Yeah.
I was a semi-pro. Did you guys know that? Do you guys know I was a semi-pro?
Yeah. Oh, tell us about it,
Anuj, Tim. Did you know I was a semi-pro in Rainbow Six?
I still don't believe it.
It's true. And Critical Force. We've talked about this once on the podcast, and I don't know if this was pre-Brandon's death or if you guys were on the show when we talked about it. Do you know what Critical Force is?
No.
Critical Force is a mobile FPS. It pretty much looks like Counter-Strike 1.6. It is Counter-Strike 1.6. But
I think we were here.
It's early access. It's not even like officially released, but it's got like 40 million downloads, and I guess it's popular. Whatever. Bottom line is, don't let anyone tell you there's no money into esports or games, because they just got $6.3 million in like funding. And they said that they're going to use it mainly to focus on its esports infrastructure.
I would use that to focus on my new Lambo.
Like,
yeah, I know, right?
A spare first-person shooter mobile game. $6.3 million to focus on esports. So, don't let anyone tell you the money's not there, because it's there. It is for sure there. But you know what's also here? The end of the show. And that just about does it for this episode of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast, where you heard Team Envious was going to drop their roster first. Episode 110 is in the books. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please let us know on Twitter or Discord or our website, tcr.gg. You can find our Twitter there. It's at The Center Ring. Our Discord link is there. Please join the conversation. We're all there having fun. If you play World of Warcraft, we got back into it. So come join us. We're the Horde. Because, you know, only women and children join the alliance. We will be back next week, probably on Wednesday, probably on time, 7 p.m. Central-ish. So join us again. We are on Twitch as well. It is my birthday, though. And as birthday traditions go, I'm going to ask my wife for sexual intercourse, and she will say no. And then I'm going to eat Chinese food, and I'll be back on. So I'll talk to you guys in a little bit.
All right.
But until then, for Tim, or I'm Tim, for Brett and Anuj, we'll see you next time.